Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. Was naked, and you gave Me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of Me. I was in prison, and you visited Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts today be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the last in this August series of what I'm calling the Essential Jesus. Next week, we start on a whole new project. This is an all-church project where we'll spend the month of September, both here and in the Bridge, on the five practices of fruitful living together. And that will take us into October, when we will also a whole church project and program that we're calling Extravagant Generosity. We're launching that next week, and so it's a whole new emphasis for September through October. They're sending me over to the Bridge next Sunday. It'll be my first experience over there. David is coming, and I think he's got some interesting surprises for you for next week. So, and we will, while our sermons may not be identical, they will be based on same premises and scriptures and things like that. So, we're all going to be together. When we come together on September the 11th, knowing the poignancy and the power of that particular day, we will have what we're planning to do is have during our prayer time, we will coordinate our prayer time so that both the Bridge and Celebration will all be praying at the same time, in the same moment. So anyway, that's what's going on. This is the last Sunday. I'm talking about the four parables in this umbrella I'm calling the Essential Jesus. These four parables that, for me, represents the four powerful messages that, from the moment they were uttered from the mouth of Jesus, have incarnated themselves in the whole of Western civilization, that have impacted, whether or not through the Christian community or not, have impacted the world. Great literature, historical events have occurred because of these four parables. I mean, these four parables have had incredible impact in our life. And whether we acknowledge or know it, even ourselves, or even conscious of it, for the last 2,000 years, they have been part of the unconscious human experience of Western civilization. I believe that. What does it mean for the sower to go out to sow? And some of the seed falls on hard paths. Some of the seed falls in the clutter of the rocks. And some of the seed falls in the bramble and thorns. And then some seed falls on good, rich, prepared soil that's ready to hear. And the fruit that blooms forth a hundredfold. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Or the power of the words of the story that starts out, there was a certain man traveling on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was met with robbers who stripped him and robbed him and left him on the side of the road half dead. And what it means to be a good neighbor. Or the great story about the man who had two sons. And one who asked for his inheritance way too early. And the message of compassion. And the joy that comes from finding what was lost. This morning also is a very powerful parable. But to start off, there are two kinds of people in the world. How many times have you heard that statement? There are two kinds of people in the world. We kind of hear it all the time. There are almost every speaker, somehow or another, is going to add that line to their speech. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are Texans, and then there's everybody else. There are Southerners, and then there are you-know-who. There are, when you really get to it, right, when you really think about it, two kinds of people in the world, whenever that's spoken, it usually means this: us and them. And you're really going to, put yourself in the us. You can play with us and them all you want to. There are Methodists, and then there are Americans, and then there are, you can just go on and on and on, us and them. Now, I've got to admit, before we enter into this parable, that this is a bias and a prejudice of mine. I don't like to be categorized us and them. It's just a little something that's going on in me. And so when I go into this parable, I've just got to bone up to it and just tell you, I've got this prejudice. It reminds you of it. You've just heard it, but we're going through it again. When the Son of Man comes, this is Matthew 25, the Gospel of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in his glory. And then all the nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This image of the consummation of God's eternal plan is an old biblical vision. It goes back to the prophets. Prophet Isaiah, who says, on the holy mountain all of the nations will come before the Lord, and the Lord will arbitrate among all of the people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares or spears into pruning hooks. This image of all of the nations coming before the Lord. This parable in Matthew 25 says when that happens, all the people will be separated into sheep and goats. Sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. And the king will turn to those on his right hand, to the sheep, and he said, enter into the blessedness of my Father. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was sick, you comforted me. And when I was in prison, you came to visit me. And the sheep will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you a stranger? When did we see you naked? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? And the Lord will say, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will turn to the goats, and he will say to the goats, flee from me, go away from me. For when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you didn't welcome me. And when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick, you did not bring me comfort. And when I was in prison, you did not visit me. Go. But Lord, if we had only known, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Sheep and goats. Now I've got to tell you, I don't like being categorized, particularly between sheep and goats. I don't know a whole lot about sheep and goats. I was not raised with sheep and goats. I never knew what a problem a goat was. I have a story about a sheep once that I'll tell you and save for another time, but sheep and goats. I mean, they all go together, don't they? I mean, they're all in the same flock. I mean, don't you have, goats have a certain purpose, and so do sheep, so I'm kind of confused. Sheep and goats. The other problem I have is a confession to make. When I embrace this story, I just have to tell you, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of goat in me. There just is. I mean, yes, there are moments when my heart goes out. I know the sheep. I mean, my heart goes out. I'm compelled. I see, experience things, and I want to do what is right. There are other days when the goat comes out. It's just there. I'm feeling selfish. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling sometimes kind of some people call it like a compassion fatigue or something. I'm just goaty. So, how do I deal with this parable? Fortunately, Paul was dealing with it too. Paul had the same problem. And he says it in his letter to the Romans. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my own members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Paul understood this internal war of wills that goes on within the human condition. Paul can relate. I think it is part of the human condition, and I think if we're all honest, we experience this in ourselves all the time. It even goes back to Plato and the ancient Greeks. He had his own way of explaining it. He says it's like we have within us this charioteer that has two horses. And one of the horses is a tamed, benevolent horse that rides true. And another horse is a wild, passionate, impulsive steed, full of energy, but full of impulse. And and difficult to control. And so the role of the charioteer, the role of rational thought, is to keep this tame horse of wisdom and this passionate, impulsive horse of emotion somehow or another in balance so that you can go straight down the road. If you restrain the passionate horse too much, then you'll just creep down the road. And if you let the wild horse have its own way, you'll veer off the road and you'll just go anywhere. The idea is somehow or another, keep a balance between your emotions and your reason, and you'll go straight down the road with energy and strength. This, what's going on within us? You may have heard this analogy. Cherokee Indian grandfather was with his grandson. And the grandfather says, within the human being, there are two wolves constantly fighting one another. And one wolf is an evil wolf, full of hatred and arrogance and greed and envy and vile. And the other wolf is a good wolf, filled with joy and peace and grace and gentleness and generosity and forbearance and compassion. But they are constantly fighting one another. And after a pause, the little grandson looks up at his grandfather and says, "Grandfather, who wins?" And the grandfather says, "The one I feed." What do we do with the sheep and the goats? Well, the truth of the matter is, the parable is more important than just sheep and goats. The point of the parable, the truth of the parable, the central piece of the parable, the point Jesus wants us to hear clearly is this: the least of these. It's the least of these Jesus wants us to pay attention to. For it's the least of these that bear my face. When you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And the least of these are all around us. All around us. Time magazine this week, there was a whole article on the famine going on in Somalia and how international aid can't get through, and because of the famine plus the fact that the political situation has created such devastation that children are dying by the thousands every day. But we can get closer to home. It came out this week. Texas is rated number 4 in a number of the states where their percentage of children who are malnourished, who have food scarcity, and because of that are prone to not only emotional difficulties, but also developmental issues and all that goes on with that. The least of these. I was intrigued also this week by an article in the New York Times by David Brooks. He called it Rugged Altruism. Altruism is this fancy word about human compassion and how we open our hearts to others and give of ourselves for others. Now, there are those who study these things as kind of a brain science, and many would suggest that altruism, this human capacity for compassion, is an evolutionary thing. It's a brain thing. It comes from, you know, particular enzymes and neurotransmitters in the brain. And if you really look at it and look at it clearly, it really is, underlying it all is a selfishness that we're really doing this for ourselves, for feeling good about ourselves. And David Brooks is in Kenya, and he says, I've met three people while I've been here. One is a woman who, when she was in college, read that there was a need for a teacher of English in a small little fishing village in South Korea, and so she inquired and applied, and the next thing she knew, she found herself all alone in this fishing village in South Korea. Finally, somebody came and recognized her or knew who she was, and so it was a hard 2 or 3 months, she said, in order to get acclimated, but once I did, and I began to teach and do what I was there to do, it all changed, and it changed my life, and I've been in this kind of service for the rest of my life. And he said, it takes an incredible amount of courage to do that. And then he found a man who, when he was younger, touring Kenya while he was in college, found himself in a slum neighborhood, deathly sick. He had eaten something bad, and he just found himself in a very dire situation. And when he came out of it, he began to pay attention to where he was and who he was with and listen to their needs and trying to understand these people. He eventually left, joined the Marines, but when he got out of the Marines, he came back to Kenya and started a boys and girls club in the very slum that he got sick in. He says, this comes out of a, David Brooks says, this comes out of a real sense of wanting to be with, to understand, to listen to, this deference of humbling oneself in order to be with another. And then he said he met a doctor who found himself in several situations where he gives and he gives and he gives, but there is no thankfulness, no sense of gratitude that comes from anyone. And he says, now that's, why does someone do things like this without any sense of payback? This unconditional generosity. And what he concluded is, why are you here? And they say, God put me here. Now for me, that's where it is. This courage, this humility, this unconditional sense of giving of oneself isn't natural. It's supernatural. It's divine. And it enters the heart through the power of God. I believe that. And I believe it's entered your heart through the power of God. Old Testament says it this way, Prophet Jeremiah, I'm going to put it in your heart. I'm going to write it in your heart. You will be my God, and I will be your people. I'm going to put it in your heart, says Paul. You are a letter of Christ prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, unknown, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you comforted me. I was in prison and you visited me. There are two kinds of people in the world. And then there are those who know better. And what do we know? We know it's the least of these where we see Christ. It's the least of these where we know Christ. It's the least of these we serve Christ. Thank you, church, for being Christ to the least of these. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.